Hare Krishna. So, how are you all doing? I'm sorry that for quite some time I could not get in touch with you all. When this website was started, for first few days, practically on a daily basis, I was giving the podcast, but then since I started to travel and I didn't have my secretary Chandrasekhar traveling with me and my days were very, very hectic, I could not continue to give my messages in the podcast, especially this series on Srila Prabhupada in my life. I feel very sorry about it because I know how much you wanted to hear these narrations from me. But as I mentioned, like, I didn't have a secretary and I myself am not very conversant with these electronic gadgets, and besides that, I hate to translate, I hate to record my voice or my sayings. Anyway, so now I'm back, and now I'm in Canada. Tomorrow I'll go to London on my way to India. I'll be back in Ujjain on the 15th, and in order to attend the Janmashtami on the 16th, and Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja on the 17th there. So next few days I will try to give my message in the podcast, and let's see. So in Srila Prabhupada in my life, I narrated up to my going to Calcutta from Mayapur to tell my father that I decided to join ISKCON. I wrote to him that I have joined, but he did not really understand at the time, or he didn't really realize that I decided to commit myself fully in ISKCON. So at that time there was some business also that I had to take care of in Calcutta, so I went to Calcutta, and when I met him, he was shocked to see me in devotee clothes and shaved head. But then when I spoke to him, he realized that I was serious about it, and I found the right path, and in a way I felt that he was very impressed also that within just a few days, I learned so much about spiritual life and our informations that are available in the Vedas. And anyway, so then after that, I went back to Mayapur. In Mayapur, the days were beautiful. Mayapur was such a beautiful place. Mayapur, of course, is always a beautiful place because it's the spiritual sky. It's the place of eternal abode of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So undoubtedly, it is non-different from the spiritual sky. It is an extension of the spiritual sky on the material nature. And those days, especially Mayapur atmosphere was so serene. There were not so many people. There were not so many traffic, there was not so many shops, and it was just a few rickshaws, and that used to take us to Hulur Ghat, and there we used to take a boat either to go to Sharukganj or to Navadvip, and we used to take a bus to Krishnanagar station, and then we used to take a train to Calcutta. And There was only one bus service in the morning and in the evening that used to go from Mayapur to Krishnanagar via Bethua Dehri. Sometimes in the early morning I used to take that bus to go to Krishnanagar station to take a train whenever I needed to go to Calcutta. And in Mayapur those days there were not so many devotees, and most of the devotees were Western devotees. They were Americans or a few Europeans. And we had a very strong bond among ourselves, especially among the brahmacharis. There were a few householders, and they used to have their corner, and they had their family, and we used to have a very good relationship with them also. But the bond among the brahmacharis were extremely unusual. Like, we were there the whole day together and rendering service, attending the programs, and whenever we used to have spare times, we used to sit together in a circle and we would read from Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. The way we used to do it is one person used to read and others listened, and then he would pass the book on to the next person, and then after reading for a while he would pass it on to the next person. In this way, in a group of devotees, we used to read Srila Prabhupada's books, and in this way we were very particular not to waste any time. Whatever spare time we used to have, we used to make it a point to utilize it perfectly in Krishna consciousness. One of the important aspects of devotional service is abhyartha kala tyag, that we see that not a single moment goes to waste. Everything must be used in Krishna's service. And time is the most precious thing. Therefore, we must be very careful not to waste any time. And that mood was so beautifully established those days. And we were always either engaged in rendering service or engaged in hearing and chanting or honoring prasad. And I miss those days. Now my life has become so busy and I do not have any spare time. All the time is so much occupied and we have very little time to spend together with the devotees in hearing and chanting in this way. So my days were occupied either in Mayapur or in Calcutta. Often I had to go to Calcutta to take care of the purchasing and printing the books that I was printing for Srila Prabhupada's, collecting from Prabhupada's early writings in Bengali. And I also translated some old Back to Godhead articles, and I was compiling a Bengali Back to Godhead. That was the first Bengali Back to Godhead that we printed. And in this way, I was very much involved in various activities in Mayapur and in Calcutta. And I was waiting for Prabhupada to come back to India. And I was eagerly waiting. Actually, I was dying to have his darshan. Then one day I got the news that Srila Prabhupada came back to India. Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay. So I told Bhavananda Prabhu, who was my immediate boss. He was in charge of me, and he was engaging me in the services those days. I was, in a way, I was his man. And when I told Bhavananda Prabhu, he was a sannyasi at that time, Bhavananda Goswami. So I told him that I wanted to go to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he told me that Prabhupada's health was not good, therefore Prabhupada is not meeting anybody. And besides that, in Bombay, no one knew me. Therefore, the chances of my being able to see Srila Prabhupada was very, very bleak. And so he suggested, why don't you wait? Soon Srila Prabhupada will come to Mayapur and you'll meet him here. And I also thought that I already have so much to do. I was printing books, publishing Back to Godhead magazine, plus I was purchasing material and so much to do. I thought, okay, I'll rather wait for Srila Prabhupada to come back. And then we got the news that Srila Prabhupada was going to Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. And at that time, Guru Kripa Swami also was in Mayapur. He was the GBC of Japan and Southeast Asia. And he had a group of very fired up devotees. They are known as Namhat. And they used to mainly distribute books and collect in Japan. He collected a lot of Lakshmi for Srila Prabhupada's projects in Vrindavan and Bombay and Mayapur. And so he decided to go to Allahabad with his boys, and it was arranged that some other devotees also would travel to Allahabad, to Kumbh Mela, to meet Srila Prabhupada. So I also was included in the team. They were traveling by bus. Bus was arranged to drive all the way to Allahabad from Navadvip. So one fine morning, we went across the river Jalangi, and River Ganges, and we went to Navadvip. And from there we started our journey to Allahabad. We traveled through the day, and at night we stopped in Benares. And the next morning we arrived in noontime, actually, late morning, we arrived in Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. Kumbh Mela in Allahabad takes place on the confluence of Ganga and Jamuna. There is a vast tract of sandy land which is otherwise completely empty, and during Kumbh Mela thousands of tents are erected there and for millions of pilgrims to come there. And we also had our spot. ISKCON area was there, and we drove to that place. And immediately upon arriving, I just went straight to see Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada's area was Prabhupada's large tent there, and that area was walled out with corrugated tin sheets. And there was an entrance, and at the entrance there was a big-bodied Western devotee guarding the gate. And when I tried to go in, he stopped me and he told me that I couldn't go. And he asked me to come back in the evening, and Srila Prabhupada would give darshan. A little disappointed, I just left the place and I was loitering around. And at that time I saw that Bhavananda Prabhu was carrying a basket of vegetables and going towards Srila Prabhupada's tent. And he saw me also, and he said, come, let's go to Srila Prabhupada. And he took me, and I ran behind him. We went past that big-bodied guard at the gate, and then we came to Srila Prabhupada's tent. And I saw Srila Prabhupada sitting behind a desk inside the tent, and from outside I offered obeisances while Bhavananda Prabhu just walked inside the tent. And after I offered obeisances, then I saw that Srila Prabhupada was looking at me and I also was looking at him. And I tried to go in, but when I was about to go and enter Prabhupada's tent, Rameshwar Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's secretary at that time, he stopped me and he told me that I shouldn't go because Prabhupada is taking prasad. So, again I was disappointed, and I was actually feeling very bad, that thinking, why did I offer obeisances from outside? Why didn't I just go inside with Bhavananda Prabhu? Then no one would have stopped me. And anyway, when Rameshwar Maharaj told me that I couldn't go in, I just left the place. In the evening, Srila Prabhupada was giving darshan, and I was a little late in coming, and I found that the tent was completely packed. There were not only devotees, but there were many, many visitors. Like in Kumbh Mela, there are literally millions of people come to participate. And that Kumbh Mela was very special. It was a Purna Purna Kumbha, the full, full Kumbha. And that means the pot of nectar that year was completely full. And this Purna Purna Kumbha comes once in every 144 years. So that was a very special Kumbh Mela. So naturally, lots of people came, and Prabhupada was already so famous. So all these people came to see Srila Prabhupada, and I somehow squeezed in to the tent. It was packed, and I practically squeezed myself into the last man and the wall of the tent. And just by the sight of Srila Prabhupada made my heart pound with an uncontrollable feeling, and I did not have any external awareness at that time. All I was aware of is the pounding of my heart, which was so heavy, and I could hear the sound. It was so heavy, and I was completely unaware of everything else, and my heart was filled with an inconceivable joy that I never experienced before. And I think for the first time I realized what ecstasy actually meant. It was as if my heart was just trying to spring out of my body. And it was an indescribable experience that I had for the first time in my life. And when I came back to my senses, then I saw that Srila Prabhupada was surrounded by so many people, and he was sitting on his asana, on his singhasana, and he was answering the questions of the people that were asked. Many people were there asking questions. And two incidents from that meeting, from the darshan, remain very vividly engraved in my memory. One educated, intelligent looking gentleman was asking Srila Prabhupada in a rather challenging way, why are you building new temples when old temples, so many old temples need renovation? At that time, Prabhupada, our Vrindavan temple was completed. Vrindavan temple was completed, I think, in 1974. And it was actually the talk of the country. Right? I remember in Calcutta also I heard about the beautiful temple that ISKCON built in Vrindavan. And now the second temple was going up in Bombay, So that was, that temple was going to be even more gorgeous. So that man therefore asked Prabhupada, why are you building these big temples when there are so many old temples and needing renovation? Srila Prabhupada did not answer the question directly. He quietly listened to his question, and then Prabhupada told him, Prabhupada asked him, who is that lady sitting next to you? And that man replied, that she is my wife. Then Prabhupada asked him, why did you get married? And this time the man got a little flustered. He didn't know what to say. And he was fumbling. And Prabhupada said, you got married because you wanted to have children. Putrarthe kriyate bharja. One accepts a wife in order to get children. But why have children when there are so many children loitering in the streets? So many orphans are there in the streets. Why don't you just get them and bring them up? And the man didn't know what to say. The Prabhupada said, just as you want to have your own children, devotees want to build the temple to offer to Krishna. And that was so brilliant, and I was completely awestruck to see Srila Prabhupada answering these questions in such a beautiful way. And then another incident that took place there, there was an Indian sadhu. He was quite young, and from the dress I could make out that he was from Bharat Srivastram Sangha, one spiritual group in Bengal. They are mainly involved in doing social welfare work, like wherever there is flood or famine or earthquake, they are there helping. They are quite famous for their social welfare work. And so this person belonged to that group, and so he also, in a kind of challenging way, asked Srila Prabhupada what Srila Prabhupada was doing to benefit people, what kind of social work Srila Prabhupada was doing. And this man asked the question in Bengali, but Prabhupada became very heavy, and he started to tell him in Hindi. Prabhupada was responding to his question, and Prabhupada was pointing out that the real welfare work is to give people Krishna consciousness. This providing food and shelter and helping people in distress is only a superficial thing. It is not going to solve the real problem. The real problem will be solved only by becoming Krishna conscious. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the most important social welfare work. And in this way, Prabhupada was very strongly responding to that question. And Prabhupada was quite heavy, actually. And at one point, this person asked Srila Prabhupada, I ask you the question in Bengali, why are you answering them in Hindi when you are a Bengali yourself? Then Prabhupada again became very heavy. He said, whether Bengali or Hindi, that doesn't matter. What really matters is whether you understand what I am saying. And I could see that that man was completely shattered. And at the back of my mind, I was thinking that this person will never come back to ISKCON. But strangely enough, after some time, after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, one day I saw this man in Mayapur. And I could recognize him from that Kumbh Mela incident. And he became a devotee. And later on he became initiated by Jayapataka Maharaj. And I was thinking that he's so unfortunate that if he surrendered himself to Srila Prabhupada at that time, he could have received Prabhupada's mercy directly. Anyway, it's nice that he eventually joined the movement. And so in this way, in Kumbh Mela, I met my eternal spiritual master for the first time in this life, and that was the most memorable incidents in my life. Hare Krishna. So I will try to get back to you again soon. Haribol. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Rishi? Oh, is it 25 minutes or did I speak for 25 minutes?
Did it say 25 minutes? Yes.
Oh, okay.
So you just
now play and see.